Are you ready?
What's up, boys, girls, wrestling fans of all ages, shapes, and sizes? It is I, the dad bod, Matt Knight, joining you from the Checkmate Studios once again with Mr. Roadhouse.
Hey, guys. Roadhouse here, a.k.a. Roadie.
So, you were telling me about some big news on the AML WrestleCade front.
Man, I just saw, scrolling Facebook, their first WrestleCade announcement for this year is freaking huge, brother. I mean, we got the pleasure this past year of getting to go to WrestleCade. We actually won tickets randomly.
The only thing I've ever won in my life.
which was awesome. But it was the time of our life. And in fact, the third day, which was Sunday, there was a girl or ladies' night out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ladies' night out yeah. That you got to take the stepdaughter to. That I know that she and you both thoroughly enjoyed. So it was cool. The whole family was able to get involved. But this year, Tracy and Brian absolutely did not waste time with announcing the first major announcement. First of all, the theme, it's very cool. It's going to produce some phenomenal apparel that I can't wait to buy. So this year's WrestleCade theme is going to be WrestleCade, the Year of the Dragon. Anyways, first major announcement is going to be the Bryan Danielson here in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, live in person and in the ring. How you feel about that? I know how you feel about Bryan Danielson.
I mean, it's cool. He's a superstar. I'm glad to have him here for fans of his to meet.
Yeah.
I'm not one of those.
But. I know you're not a fan, but you know, I was sitting here thinking the other day, and maybe
you'll bring the Bellas. That'd be cool. I'm down for that.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
So my dad, who also accompanied us to WrestleCade, been a wrestling fan his whole life. Which was really cool to share that experience with him. He had a blast, but I was talking to him the other day, and it's like, you know, me and him, we really, we connected with wrestling,
yeah.
But there wasn't necessarily much around here unless WCW or then the F, but now WWE came around. So, I mean, it was very few and far between. And for Tracy and Brian and AML and WrestleCade to bring somebody of his caliber superstar wise to little old Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Like, it absolutely, it's exciting to me. Whether you're a fan or not, you have to get excited about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just like, you know, and we've talked about this because be on the lookout. We do have a couple of pretty cool guests coming up. But
we've had a couple pretty cool ones too. Shout out Catman.
Shout out Griff Garrison.
But more importantly, Catman.
I knew it was coming. but I believe even we spoke about this a little bit. Like, we've been shooting emails, texts, you know, sending messages on Twitter, stuff like that.
We've been bothering the shit out of people.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we've been bothering the shit out of people.
Absolutely. But it's worked.
Screw them if they can't take a joke, okay?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, you know, just talking to my dad and talking to you, and the fact that we have such a great, incredible wrestling scene now here, not just in North Carolina, because that's cool too. We can travel. In fact, like our last episode told you, we'll be in Lenoir tomorrow for NAWA's Bunkhouse Stampede. But the fact that we're bringing...
It's going to be a slob knocker, fellas.
Slob knocker.
I'm going to tell you, it's going to be something that's good to... Mud hole stomped in him and walked dry.
Yeah.
All right.
But the fact that we have, we don't have to drive the hour and a half, go to a different state for some of these big, huge names in little old Winston-Salem. Like, it gets me excited, man. It really does. It gets me excited.
Yeah. So contrary to our setup, we're not sponsored by Mountain Dew.
Unless Mountain Dew would like to sponsor us. Mountain Dew, what a refreshing drink.
Yeah, I only drink about a 12-pack a day, as you can tell from my chins. different story, though. I want to talk about some news that pretty much everybody who is our audience is probably talking about, and that is the return of Vinnie Mac to the board of directors, the exit of Stephanie Mac, also known as Mrs. H.
Love S.
And the sale now of the WWE. What do you think of that whole situation? What do you make of that?
You know, there's so many different tangents I can go off of. Good and bad, for and against McMahon, Vinnie Mac, as I'm trying to say. But I think that he absolutely handled it the wrong way, holding the company hostage, no matter what the outcome was.
I think he, especially in this day and age, I don't think it was really should be acceptable in any day and age. Maybe back in the 90s, the reason for his exit might have been a little more, because some of that stuff was happening in the higher levels of government. I'm not going to get into that whole story that happened. However, his exit should have been the exit. He's coming back now. It seems like that a couple months off work, no consequences. I will say this about the man. He has done more for the business of pro wrestling, the exposure to large audiences and bringing pro wrestling to the mainstream, more than anybody on the planet, I believe.
I couldn't agree more.
But here in the past, I don't know, 10 years even, the product, I believe, has gotten stale, minus some high spots and some good storylines that were really eventually just killed because of contract negotiations, or it wasn't the direction that Vince wanted to go in. I think Triple H and Stephanie, Triple H's head of creative, I believe that he did has been doing a really good job of trying to recreate the WWE, not as a lot of people from our generation were expecting, to go back to the Attitude Era.
Right.
But he's really, I guess, trying to come up with something new and fresh, and I think he has been very successful in doing so. Now, one of our arguments has been the Bray Wyatt storyline. Is it good? Is it taking too long? I mean, are we on the borderline? Is something building? So there's always going to be questionable things out there. Just like it seems like all of pro wrestling Twitter wants to question everything AEW does. What's your take on it?
You know, I first have to completely agree with you on Vinnie Mac being, I mean, I know that his dad created, quote unquote, the WWF, WWE, but Vinnie Mac took it and ran with it. Mm-hmm. Vinnie Mac created the WWF, WWE, in my opinion.
Well, and he went for broke too with that first WrestleMania. He spent everything that he had,
every dime.
And if it wasn't a success, then you wouldn't see him today.
It was going to be either hit or miss.
Yeah.
If it didn't work, he was out of business. If it did work, holy shit, we've got something here. That was the epitome of whether pro wrestling was going to be able to make it mainstream,
mm-hmm.
and it did.
Yeah.
So I want to give all the credit that's due to him, because, like you said, he's had great, great storylines. He's done a great job through all these years, but he fell out of touch. Let's just be honest. Let's call a spade a spade.
And I've also read accounts that there might have been some possible senility aspects to that, where you saw some of the repeat matches, because he would forget that he had already had those matches.
Right, right.
You know, my grandpa was a great carpenter all his life, but the work that he did in his 80s wasn't as good as what he did in his 60s, 50s, 40s, and the wonderful stuff he did while he was, you know, honing his craft in his, you know, 20s and 30s. So there's an age aspect. I don't want to sound ageist, because I know there are some very capable people out there who are older people, myself being one of them, or not one of them. but, you know, there comes to a time to ride off gracefully into the sunset. I think he had ample opportunity to do so before the misconduct allegations came out, and he should have took that as a clue to just fade out of the public eye.
Well, let me speak on that, and because I have an opinion on this. Should he have done that? Absolutely, and it's because of the allegations, this, that, and the other. But it's kind of like the same thing as, I'll equate it to the Ric Flair match.
Yeah.
He wanted to do it on his own terms. And I get that. I get that because you build an empire. You don't want to be told when you're done with your building your empire. However, if I was Vinnie Mac, right, and, you know, I haven't been in that situation, so it's hard to say because you never know what you're going to do until you're in that situation. But if I was in that situation, there was accusations, whatever, I'm butthurt. All day long, I'm butthurt. But once I start to see the response of all the positive things that were going on, mm-hmm. plus the ratings going up and everybody, you know, talking about the Triple H era is going to be unreal and this, that, and the other, I think I would have stayed gone.
Well, and the willingness of people to work with Triple H that had left the company and said, you know, left on pretty bad terms and made it public that they did not want to come back. It's even been rumored that FTR is one of those teams that it was almost a sure thing that they were coming back. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad you said that last point, because there was a huge buzz on the wrestling media on the internet and non-wrestling. I think even Barstool Sports reported on it that it was a sure thing that WWE, a.k.a. the Fed, a.k.a. New York City, had been sold to the Saudi Arabian Public Investment Fund, a.k.a. the Saudis. And there was a bunch of hate being spewed on the internet for that. I kept my opinion to myself because I like to kind of wait and see what happens.
Right.
And plus the same thing kind of happened with UFC. You have to notify shareholders of an impending sale.
Right.
And if they sell to the Saudis or really anybody else, it takes the company private from public. So it changes your stock options. That changes people's money.
Changes
and,
everything.
And when
really.
When people's money gets involved, I get mad about my money. I know you guys probably do too. So that was a big aspect, which I was kind of like, they wouldn't just break the news like that. They have to, there are steps to take.
There's due diligence you have to go through.
Yeah. But you know, I think that's probably the worst place that the WWE can go with the Saudi Arabian culture of suppression of women. And I mean, people were saying, well, there goes the women's division.
Exactly. And everything that we built for the women's division.
Now, I don't necessarily agree that would happen. I think that women's matches probably wouldn't be televised in Saudi Arabia. I think there might be like an American version of it and then a Middle Eastern version. So,
well, and I also want to touch on that because, you know, I don't want, in my personal opinion, I think we share the same views. It would be detrimental. However, in this day and age, you got to be careful what you say, how you think, even though everybody has their own opinions. And, you know, it could either go one of two ways if this were the way they went. It could either be, hey, you know, because they make a lot of money mm-hmm. on all the Saudi Arabian shows. So there's obviously funding that can back it. It can either go one of two ways, though. It can absolutely be phenomenal, great, you know, wow, they're putting more money into it. Wow, they're doing this, they're doing that. Or it's going to go the absolute opposite way, and it's going to shit tank. It's not going to hold steady. That's how I feel.
Yeah, I'm pretty much there with you. I don't think that there's going to be much of a gray area should the Saudis buy the company.
Right.
There have been multiple superstars that have spoke out and said that they won't work for the Saudis for whatever reason, whether it's their political beliefs, their religious beliefs, or just the way that the Saudis do business. Now, pretty much everybody has a price, though, so I guess it kind of depends on how much money they want to throw at somebody. And if Ric Flair is looking to come back and wrestle his last match, it might take place in Saudi Arabia.
I could see it. It just really depends on what his bank account looks like and how much cocaine he's done.
Unverified reports of that.
So, you know, it's such a weird time in wrestling because we were talking the other day and
talking about how 2022,
the year of wrestling,
was the wildest year in Absolutely. Professional wrestling in a long freaking time, possibly ever. And then 2023 opens up and holy shit.
We're not even a full month in, and it has already, in my opinion, whether it be things that have actually happened or reports or rumors or anything, it's surpassed 2022 already, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've had some great wrestling already this year.
And if this whole sale is a storyline?
If it's a storyline, Vinnie Mac, yeah. I take any negative thing I've ever taken or said about you, and I take it back because holy shit, great job.
And, you know, it's not out of the realm of possibility either. He's wrestled, what, he's wrestled God, right? Or
that's
had
fair.
A, had a feud with God.
That's fair. TV.
He's had a hair versus hair match with an ex-president. He's died. In a limo.
Yep.
And then magically reappeared to announce the death of a superstar that is a name that we do not speak.
Who must not be named.
he who must not be named. Hide your wife and kids.
Anyways, but yeah, it's just if this is how 2023 is starting out in the wrestling world, like what does that mean it has in store for us? That's what blows my mind. Like we have put our toes in to feel what the temperature of the water is.
So here's what scares me. Art mimics life. Is that the phrase?
Sounds good to me.
Something like that. But so if that is truth, then life mimicking art is going to be we're in for a heck of a one heck of a 2023. Let's move on. Still want to talk about the sale piece. There now have been, I guess, yet again, unconfirmed rumors that Tony Khan, the owner of AEW, and his father have now dropped their name into the hat, wanting to either purchase or merge with WWE, even to the point of they have also entered talks with Disney with all three, and said that there will be a position for Vince McMahon available. Now, I want to dive a little bit further into that.
Yes.
But before I do, let's talk about how that would look. And this, there's only speculation from this point out. You know, it for sure opens the actual, for real, forbidden door. There's no door.
There's anymore. No door.
Yeah.
No, you can't say forbidden door anymore because
it's
open.
Well, now it's just a door.
Yeah.
It might not even have a door. It's just a doorway.
Before you continue that thought.
Yeah.
If per se this happens, right? I mean, first and foremost, this is in my opinion, and take it for what it's worth, I was a WCW guy.
I started with WCW. I was for my first solid 2 years until I knew that there was a WWE right. out there. And then I was back and forth.
I think that those two merge. This is bigger by a million than when the Monday Night Wars happened and then Vinnie Mac bought WCW.
Yeah. But you know what? What they need to do is if Tony Khan and his father do buy WWE to have a merger, the televised part of this needs to have all of the nostalgia of the WCW last episode where Shane McMahon comes out. I think it should be, you know, Tony Khan comes out. I want to make an announcement. I've bought WWE. And then it cuts. It's like, no, 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 no. You didn't read the paperwork. Smart Mark Sterling comes on there and he's like,
oh my God.
The best lawyer in wrestling.
You
okay.
know who it needs to be? And I may get some hate for this.
Okay.
Dan Lambert.
Whoever. I think if they could get Shane, just the nostalgia of that. But I think either one of them would be great. But they need to call back that storyline where it's Tony Khan gets bamboozled and it's not, it really is. But it's not really him that bought the company. And, you know, Dan Lambert comes out with his arm around Vince McMahon. There needs to be something
so
that happens
there.
So many
options.
But my fear is that Vince McMahon will negotiate that he has too much power over creative in the company.
So I think that Vinnie Mac will try to do that. I think, though, that maybe not so much Tony. Because you know, let's be honest, Tony is just a wrestling fan that happened to also have money and have a dad who's a billionaire. Let's be honest, which that's not a knock at Tony. I love everything that he has done so far. I think that Vinnie Mac tries to get too much control. Tony is trying to do those negotiations. Papa Khan jumps in and takes over the fact that, hey, this is still our company. We can only give him so much.
Yeah.
As a businessman.
Yeah, but the whole reason for that I have read for this whole sale is to put Vince back in the driver's seat of creative.
Yeah.
And I don't think any type of deal, unless it's just, I mean, just going to pay more than, you know, more than God, which, you know, I think the Saudis have more money than him.
Yes.
But I think that any deal Vince is going to have a lot of power to wield. And that scares me, because that means that if there are crossover matches happening, if Raw superstars are showing up on Dynamite and Rampage and vice versa, then they're going to be jobbers. They're going to be mid-card. AEW will be the cruiserweight division.
But you also got to think, though, right now with them being two entities, WWE and AEW, right? We have wrestling every night. So how does that landscape change if A and B, how does that change?
You go back to the way things were with the territories.
That's true. I didn't think about it that way.
You have champions for brands, and you have to defend, and I hate the brand split thing within companies, but if you have two different companies that are, you know, you've got, like back in the day where, you know, Ric Flair would go to, you know, one territory to wrestle and feud with Ricky Steamboat for the heavyweight title, then Ricky Steamboat keeps it and then feuds with other wrestlers in other territories. That's the only way that you're going to keep the dynamic. Is a storyline going to be harder to keep? I don't think so. You have more players. But I think that the storylines there'll be a greater depth to what's actually happening.
So I actually, like, I don't know how I haven't, but this thought just hit my head, right? So we have Raw, SmackDown, NXT, WWE UK,
it's no longer.
It's
on hiatus for a recreation. It's going to be WWE Europe.
That's right. So that's the four that WWE has, mm-hmm. right? And then you have Dynamite, right?
Mm-hmm.
Rampage, Dark, Elevation. So there's the four that they have, right?
Mm-hmm.
So here's what I didn't think about, right? What then happens to Ring of Honor?
Yeah.
Because it's Tony's. That's Tony's baby now.
So does NXT
merge with ROH?
That's what I'm saying. Does that talent pool, you know, kind of intermingle? Because, I mean, people want to knock ROH because it's a smaller promotion, but they have just as talented wrestlers.
Of the wrestlers that have really, really made it went through ROH.
Yeah, and, you know, paid their dues, developed their skill. That's where it happened. And, you know, I'd hate for that to go away.
It absolutely should not. It would be a travesty for it to go away.
Yeah.
That'd be like right now taking, you know, taking ROH out of the equation is the same as taking NXT out of the equation. Mm-hmm. You have no developmental at all. You know what I'm saying?
Unless your developmental goes back to, you know, some of the smaller, GCW,
MLWs.
Yeah, the Florida, FCW Florida Championship Wrestling.
AMLs.
Yeah, AMLs, Firestars, some of those guys, which, you know, that'd be cool if that's where they did.
Crazy cool.
I mean, if they handle it right, it could uplift the entire pro wrestling scene in the United States,
right.
I believe. If it's handled wrong, though, I feel
it's
going to
implode.
Yeah, on the larger scale, but the smaller guys, the local guys, I think they'll be fine.
And I actually think that a merger could potentially even help some of these local guys.
Well, you see what AEW does as far as bringing in non-contracted talent.
Right.
WWE never does that. You don't.
If they do, it's on a darker, or it's on a dark match.
Or a Royal Rumble.
It's, right.
Or you have a one-night deal, and they're still under contract for that one night.
Right. So, I guess to piggyback on that, right? So, let's say that merger happens, right? We've got Papa Khan is Nick, correct?
No, Nick Khan is the CEO in WWE. I can't remember what Tony Khan's father's name is.
Okay, well, Papa Khan, Tony Khan's dad, that, if I'm not mistaken, would put him at the top money-wise, but it would also, that landscape would then look like Daddy Khan, Tony Khan.
Sounds like you're saying Donkey Kong.
Papa Kong.
I want Donkey Kong.
That's got Papa Kong at top, and then you got, do you think that they negotiate where Tony and Vinnie Mac are equals, or
I don't know how that would happen. I mean, there, because then you have to have the Bucks in there. You have to have Omega somewhere in there,
and the Bloodline,
and you know, nobody's gonna want Punk.
Oh, Punk's done then. If that merges, Punk doesn't have a chance. Not a chance in hell. See what I did there?
Yeah, that was a.
So then, with that though, like we've merged the two largest mainstream wrestling promotions. So then, does Stephanie, Trips, and Impact, and you know GCW, do they all come together and be like, you know what, we can do this too?
I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. I never expected Stephanie to just
walk out.
And the press release, it seemed like it was so forced.
It was fake. It was. This is what happened. They said, we don't want to tell you the real reason. So we're going to take a template and we're just going to put what we need it to say in here.
So how long do you think her non-compete was?
Do you think she had one?
There had to be something. When they named her the interim co-CEO
right.
with Nick Khan, because there had to be something of, you know, either a gag order.
Right.
Where she cannot come out and say anything that's happening with the inner workings of Titan Sports.
Right.
Which that's another thing to watch for. Does Titan Sports remain Titan Sports? Does that whole thing get sold, or just the WWE portion of that?
Right.
I mean, I know now that XFL isn't a thing that really...
Well, it is. It is.
It is. It's not. It is. It's not.
Right.
But I don't even think Vince owns. Did Vince sell that to The Rock?
The Rock. He's the owner. And they just pick teams and all this other crap, so...
Yeah, so you have Titan Sports with WWE, so that's another... I don't know if it matters, but that's another thought to consider.
Well, the fact of the matter is that if AEW buys out the WWE, I am going to absolutely laugh my ass off that WWE will be back to Turner, right?
No. Now, that's another thing that has to be negotiated is the network agreements.
Right.
So that's another caveat of this is the fact that Tony and his father were talking with WWE and Disney. Does Disney get all of the streaming rights and everything? I mean, I know that they do, but now does WWE only air on
Disney Plus?
Disney Plus, or does it stay where there's
Peacock?
Well, Peacock's done if Disney's in the equation.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
but do they stay with USA? Are they still TBS TNT with the different brands? I mean,
there's so many options.
Well, there's a lot to, I think, legally work out, because all these, you know, they sign contracts for a certain length of years. I know you probably are old enough to remember back when Raw was classically on USA.
Right.
They couldn't reach an agreement. I think it was because of some of the lewd and lascivious things on TV.
Right.
They ended up going to the Nashville network
mm-hmm.
for 2 years. Mm-hmm. It was a short period of time. And then USA was like, we should not have done that.
Just
then,
enough to remember.
Yeah. And then they brought it back.
So, and that's what's crazy. And I, on the aspect of Vinnie Mac being around for so long and knowing the business and the ins and outs and everything so well, do I disagree with him coming back to help the sell? Absolutely not. I think that was a good business decision. I think that was all he should have been a part of. Absolutely no creative, absolutely nothing to do with anything that goes on the show. He should be able to come back. It was his baby. He flourished in that role and, you know, he basically raised a child.
Yeah, but he's seen this whole the way that it happens is he seems like a jilted lover, and he was out, and then he's like, oh, and met with his lawyers. He's like, I can go do this. I just have to have two board members resign, and then I can be, you know, chairman of the board again, and I can do a sale. I mean, was he the last time he appeared on TV? Did he look like a man who was going to sell his company?
No. No, he looked confident. He was ready to keep going.
And here's another thing too. Is he terminally ill? And he hasn't said it. Is this the reason he does? You know, he doesn't want the downfall of what he has built to be on the shoulders of his daughter and son-in-law.
So, which, if that's the case, that's heavy, and I respect that.
Yeah, but I mean, it adds another aspect to it. Is like, do we still say, you know, screw that guy, or is it, wow, that was pretty cool of you to do.
Pretty noble.
Yeah.
But even if that were the case, I still stand behind the fact that he did it the wrong way.
Yeah.
And just because some of the verbiage that was used in some of the press releases, if I'm not mistaken, that we read, mm-hmm. he sounded like a jealous ex-girlfriend. And this was his. You're either going to allow me to come back, or I'm going to hold you hostage. That's not good business.
Yeah.
And he's a great businessman. Look what he's built. He's a great businessman. And he has all these investments everywhere else. He knows what he's doing with his money and business. Mm-hmm. That left a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah. So I guess we'll see what the upcoming weeks and possibly months has in store. You don't know with these situations. 2 days ago, the Saudis were buying it, and now we don't know. We don't know who's in talks.
We have no clue.
It could happen overnight. We could wake up, you know, Monday morning and, oh, wow, the WWE's on Disney now.
Right.
Which, did you see? Did you see on TikTok the one I sent you where it had the intro when the Saudis buy the WWE? And it's the music that the kind of fat Middle Eastern guy, where he does the dances, are going. This is the most hilarious thing I've seen.
I was actually at work at my desk, and I hate to say it like this, it makes me sound like a loser, but I actually physically laughed out loud.
Yeah.
To the point where my coworkers were like, what the hell did you see? Because that's funny.
You should have done the Zach Galifianakis cubicle laugh.
But, I mean, the whole landscape, the whole wrestling landscape, no matter what happens, what is decided, what is sold, what is this, that, and the other, the whole wrestling landscape has already changed.
Yeah, and, you know, we're recording this about the time that SmackDown is on, so I guess we might be missing developments happening right now. Who knows?
So I did get an update.
Okay.
And I think that the KO Sami Zayn storyline, bloodline and whatnot, is progressing, because tonight on SmackDown, the main event is Sami and KO.
Oh, Sami versus KO.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they've been fighting each other since the indies.
But I think that this time is different. I think that they will have a great match that will end up in the bloodline starting to interfere and Sammy not allowing that.
Maybe. I just want him to cut his damn hair like the Usos. They teased it and it never happened. And I was pissed, man.
I think what I'm excited for, though, really, I mean, it's going to be cut and dry who WWE sells to. It's not like you and I are going to have any vote. It's not like we're going to know anything until it happens. What I'm excited for is for it to go ahead and happen.
I've heard that there's another name in the hat. I've heard Tracy Myers might be buying.
Listen, Tracy, if you're buying, holla at your boys.
You got an announce team right here for a third show.
I mean, and what a beautiful announce. Look at us.
I take my headphones off and my face doesn't look as fat.
Oh, no, I like to push them closer so it does. Yeah.
I like to get real red in the face when I'm doing it.
But no, what I was saying was, The landscape's going to change no matter what. Nobody besides a very small circle of inner workings in WWE and whatever company they sell to is going to have any clue what's going down at all until it's broken, hopefully by anybody but Dave Meltzer.
Well, even Dave he held his tongue on that one. I was surprised that he wasn't there spouting it. But, I mean, he's also one of the ones that said, watched it happen with UFC. I called it wrong then. Not doing it now.
I think that's why he did it, though. I think he put his foot in his mouth and then realized, hey, this is going to be the same shit.
I think they should leak it to Jim Cornette before they do anybody.
Corny, if you're watching, if you ever see this, which I would love to have you break that news, but also I would love to go toe-to-toe to you on this mic here on the Swanton Pod and make it happen.
He would annihilate you.
He wouldn't touch this.
He would annihilate you.
Wouldn't touch it. Wouldn't come close. Anyways, so what I was going for with that is from whenever it happens to whoever it happens, is it going to be surprising? Yes. Is it going to be interesting? Yes. What I'm excited for is not this happening, but the fallout. Because
yeah, there's going to be quite a bit. I mean, pro wrestling social media is already
so toxic.
Toxic, divided. People come up with opinions that
are dumb.
I can't rationalize. I can't.
Wait, whoa, time out. What was that one the other day where it said that someone stole a gimmick, but it was someone now?
Yeah. It
was, listen to this.
I can't remember who it was. They said that some group from WCW stole their gimmick from The Shield.
Yes.
Let that sink in.
Like
WCW, the as far as time goes, they were never...
They weren't thought of. They hadn't even trained yet.
The math doesn't work. Right. That's all I'm saying.
Math's hard.
But chronology is apparently hard for some people.
I believe they done stole the Shield gimmick, Daryl.
My thing is, though, when I say fallout, what I mean by that is, do we see a new entity come to combat the two largest newly merged wrestling promotion, or does everybody else besides, you know, quote unquote, you know, your local indies, does everybody else just respectfully bow out? I mean, think about it. We had WCW, and I don't want to take away from Impact at all, because their current product is freaking phenomenal. I love their current product. In fact, I can't wait to see Josh Alexander whoop Bully Ray's ass at Hard to Kill this weekend. But, you know, and ROH, when they had the, I think it's the CW they were on or something. I can't remember the network, but yeah, they were on TV as well. Yeah. You know, and I'm not taking anything away from either of them, because their product was great. Like I said, anybody who's anybody really went through one of those two companies.
Well, and that's the issue, that people think that they're lesser companies, is because pro wrestling is not, unless it is a huge draw, it's not a huge draw. So,
which is the dumbest thing ever.
It takes a lot of money to get a TV deal, a lot of money to put into it. And some of the smaller promotions just don't have it, which that's one reason, and I'm going to age myself here on this one. I miss having the big satellite dish where I had to press Satcom 5, Telstar 4, and wait for that thing out in the field beside my house to move.
Did you just speak Klingon?
Yes.
Okay.
Some of you out there will know what I said. So, because late at night on, I think usually Fridays and Saturdays, it would come with this book if you had a satellite subscription. Okay. And this book came out weekly. It was about this thick, and it was your television guide.
Okay.
You couldn't pull it up on the TV.
So you didn't have the channel 12 or 11 or 12 where it just...
There's too many channels. Like, so they put everything in a book. And it's, you know,
hard times.
And I would go through and highlight the local promotions that would be on TV. And there was even one, I think I saw R-Truth before he was like...
When he was Ron Killings,
he still had... And I was like, who's this guy? He's fantastic. And I would have to watch ECW on satellite because it wasn't televised. It was on satellite. It might have been televised locally where it was at. But then there was something akin to ECW, but the quality was way worse. It was shot on like this camera we're using for the studio. For the whole production, it was a half hour long.
No cutaways,
half hour long, five matches. It had, you know, somebody that would be a worse ring announcer than me. You know, but he was no Joey Styles by any means. You know, but those were the good old days when, you know, like you could pull up an AML event that was every Saturday night. That's, or even the practice. It's like they would have like allow audience into their show practice, and they would televise it.
Well, and here's why I'm bringing this up, and I think that even you can attest, because we've been to an AEW event live.
Mm-hmm.
I've been, and I know as well as you have been, to a WWE/WWF event live, correct?
A couple of them. Couple, yeah, WCW, exactly. Ones, yeah.
Yeah. So we've seen
Did you hear me say WCW?
WCW.
I tell you what, Daryl, I miss the days at WCW. That old Medusa, she came out there, boy. That's my favorite.
Favorite. So they were great live, don't get me wrong. But it's hard to explain because here's my thing. At this point in what we've done with this, as well as, you know, we talk about all the mainstream wrestling, but I get just as, if not more, excited to talk about the AML show that we went to, to WrestleCade, to Firestar, to, you know,
PWF,
to the NAWA that, you know, we're getting to experience NAWA for the first time. Mm-hmm. I think I'm more I was more excited to talk about that than to watch Dynamite on Wednesday, even though I did.
Speaking of, do you know who's going to be at the NAWA event that we know?
Who?
You remember Ryan Mantis?
Yes.
Referee? Uh-huh. He was doing security there.
For PWF.
Yeah, when they did that whole gimmick where he choked an audience member out. And
great. That was great shit.
It didn't look like a work until he was like, this will work.
But I think that, I mean, I don't want to speak for you, so I'll speak for myself because I know this in my heart.
Damn right you speak for yourself, Daryl.
But I think that you'll agree with this, that right now I'm hashtag indie all day.
Oh yeah, I enjoyed being at those shows more than I've told you that before, is I'd rather watch it on TV than go to the event.
Right.
But WWE that kind of did that for me. I like going to the WCW stuff. I think that might have been because I was a lot younger. I went to the
WCW also felt a little bit more personal to me.
Right, but that's what I like about going to the AEW shows is that it felt more intimate.
Right.
Justin Roberts, he as the ring announcer, he interacted more with the crowd.
Was phenomenal.
The off camp when they cut to commercial and did a lot of the commercial stuff, he interacted with the crowd, he got the crowd hyped. He went out there and was just an absolute master at his craft.
I gained a lot of respect for him and actually like him so much more because he's always been a good ring announcer, but to not only hear him live, he sounds completely different live, I think, but also because to see him do that interaction and like how great he was at it felt so personal to me.
Yeah. And the fact that he knew my name, the wrestling Matt.
No,
he kept saying,
yeah, but I mean,
I shut up now, Daryl,
because here's my thing. I would put up. So we went to WrestleCade weekend, the Super Show, which unfortunately Knight was feeling a little bit under the leather. So he left early that day. But I got to see the whole Super Show. I just literally got chills talking about it and thinking about it. Probably the best live show I've ever gotten to witness. I would do that again over being front row at a TV taping.
Yeah,
all day. And what made it even cooler is you know, you had like ex WWE superstars like Dirty Dango, aka Fandango, Kurt Hawkins, you know, Johnny Wrestling Morrison, whatever his last name is now.
He was Johnny Wrestlecade there.
Yeah. But you got to see those people with some of our local talent, with some of our, you know, the AEW WWE talent.
How many W's are you going to say there, buddy?
Seven. So you got to see the inner workings of like potential dream matches that never should or could have been brought to fruition. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it was almost like a mixture of just the perfect conglomerate of greatness. I'm going to trademark that.
A conglomerate of greatness. Huh? Using your $16 words here, I see.
But I really mean that though. And if you would have asked me last year on the podcast, which I would have picked, until I experienced some of these great AML events or WrestleCade or PWF or any of that, I would have said, let's go to a big show first.
Well, and the thing too about it is, and I know because I've had wrestlers' opinions on it, they have more fun, I think, doing those type of shows because they can be the type of character, the not necessarily different gimmick, but the presentation that they're more comfortable with,
yeah,
without having to fit a TV, made for TV storyline. Because when you're on TV, as we know, every match has to tell a story. It's what makes a match a good match,
right,
not necessarily the technicals or the jumps and flips, but the story that is being told in the match. And I feel like they can show off that craft better when they're out there doing either one or two matches per show.
Well, and one of my favorite moments, and it's something so small that it really shouldn't be my favorite moment, but getting to see tidbits and glimpses of someone like Griff Garrison, who on TV, he plays just a super baby face, varsity blonde, you know, preppy, I'm beautiful. And to see him hit me with the DX chop and, you know, F you. And it was just like, give me more.
Yeah.
Like it, and it was cool to see that side of him,
yeah,
because let's be honest, I would love to see him go heel on TV, but I don't know that that's going to happen soon.
Yeah.
But
well, maybe after the merger. Wouldn't that be crazy? All the AEW guys are now heels. All the WWE guys are baby faces. You see Roman going back to a baby face. Fuck him. But look, we'd have the Shield back together, so that'd be cool.
That is true.
Ambrose is probably like,
yeah. But then here's another thought, right? If they merge, do these guys keep the name they are currently under, or does he go back to Dean Ambrose?
I would say they're probably leave that up to however the creative structure is going to work. I would just hate that the individual wrestlers in AEW would lose their creative control over their ability to pitch ideas and decide, is this the right storyline? Because that's the reason we haven't seen Miro on TV in so long, is Tony had an idea for him and he was like, not like that, and they're working something else out for him.
Yeah.
Either that, or he's just out, you know, banging his hot Russian wife all the time.
Lucky bastard. There's just so many unknowns at this point, and it's, the thing is it's not like, it's not overnight answers.
Mm-hmm.
There's a timeline which nobody but the inner workings knows of answers.
Mm-hmm.
Which as a wrestling fan and enthusiast and someone who just enjoys everything wrestling, that gets me excited, because it's like, we are very ADHD, need it now, give it to me now, I need to know. So it's almost like, it's, even if Vinnie Mac isn't doing it as a storyline, it almost feels like a storyline. It gets me engaged, it gets me enticed as to what's the next thing.
Yeah, or when I watch Monday Night Raw, I'm like, please cut this down to 2 hours.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Painful.
is that Tony Khan's first major change if they buy?
I don't know. I mean, that goes back to the network deal,
right?
Because then how much money does USA Network lose on that last hour time slot that the, you know, WWE's paid for?
Right.
They have to put what on Roseanne for back to back for an hour.
Please, I mean, never ever bring Roseanne up on this podcast ever again.
Freaking love that show.
I will only be okay with it if it follows up with the Rosie O'Donnell show.
No, I don't. I hate Rosie O'Donnell. She's not fun. She's not fun. Roseanne's good though, not because of Roseanne. I like Dan, played by John Goodman, most phenomenal actor.
I respect that.
Yeah.
Could you see someone like, you know, because we've gotten to experience some of our local stuff. Could you see someone like an AML, a Firestar, a PWF, like almost like a territory, because that's North and South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Could you see one of those players who do get to bring in some of those big names that are mainstream? Do you see that, like, let's say a territory wide, let's come together and let's try to go for this. Let's try to combat them. Or do you just think it's still too, too small?
That's hard to say, you know. I know that the AML and PWF have a pretty good working relationship. I can't speak outside of that. I think, I don't know what LeBron's with Firestar, what his relationship is with everybody, but he seems like he's a, you know, nice enough guy where he'd be on board.
I think so, too.
Something like that. But, I mean, you got to think most, not all of the independent guys, they have full-time jobs. That's true. So what do you do? Like, this is the problem. You have to come up with a financial backing to where you can make it worth these guys' time.
Right. But here's the thing, though. If they say, okay, we're all coming together and we're going to go after this shit, right? In my opinion, in order to go after that, that has to require a TV deal, which that is your backing.
I don't know. I'm somewhat of a businessman, but that's out of the realm of anything that I have ever had to look at contractually wise, or how the inner workings of something so complex like that would have to work.
I'm just saying, I'm gonna name off a couple of people that we've seen in these local places: the Gustavos, Dalton Dallas, right? Mm-hmm. The AJ Frost, you know, some of these that like. We know, and we know them pretty well. I would put them up against most AEW and WWE rosters and say it's a five-star, say they can put on a five-star match every time.
Well, they have to.
I get that. But I'm not saying it as they have to in order to prove themselves, this, that, or the other, to become mainstream. I'm saying that there's so much in the Carolinas right now that we've gotten to see, meet, interact with, see live, that it blows my mind. Some of these guys, when you see, you know, wrestlers that are on AEW and WWE, I'm like, bro, AJ Frost would have freaking killed that spot. You know what I mean?
Speaking of, through Twitter, I found out that my buddy, my good friend, Mr. John Schuyler, also watches Yellowstone like I do.
You, John Schuyler.
I like it, John. You watch Yellowstone? If we had beef before, we don't now. We can talk about the show.
Thank you.
I'm going to have to figure out how to blur that out because, you know.
No. I want him to see it. I want him to see it. Every interaction, whether it be PWF or WrestleCade weekend, John Schuyler has done nothing but talk shit and belittle me. I get it. It may be his gimmick, but if he had a set of nuts, he would come on this podcast man to man, face to face, on this camera right here, and fucking have a conversation with me, but he doesn't have the balls to do so. Make sure that doesn't get edited out.
I think that's a shoot.
It's a promise.
Well then, me and Daryl just gonna sit over here in the corner on that one, but anyway, I hope you're enjoying Yellowstone, Mr. Schuyler.
I hope you aren't. But going back to everything, it's just such an exciting time to be a wrestling fan. And what I
want, unless you're a fan of John Schuyler, apparently.
I'm not. Anyways, it's such an exciting time. And what I want this podcast to portray is, you and I have very different opinions on almost everybody. And most of the time, they don't coincide and line up with each other. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is we have so much great shit wrestling wise that comes on a regular basis now. What I would just love to see is, and it's never going to happen because you've got spit fucks out there that just absolutely think their opinion's the only opinion. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is you can like someone that somebody else hates and not have to argue it.
Yeah.
And this is the best day and age to be a wrestling fan because there's so many options. There's so many different characters. There's so many different promotions. There's indies. There's this, that, and the other, that it's an exciting time to be. I would love us all to come together as one. And you don't have to be team WWE. You don't have to be team AEW. You don't have to be team shit besides team pro wrestling. And if that would happen, there would be so much more positivity, minus John Schuyler, in the pro wrestling world.
You done preaching there, buddy?
No, I hate him.
So the only thing I have to add to that wildly impressive soapbox that you got on there is that you could even go to Marco's Pizza a few weeks ago and see some pro wrestling. I think that was somewhere down in South Carolina.
I believe
it was either AJ Frost or the Catman that was sending some of that stuff out about Facebook.
You know, it's pretty cool, and I know we've talked about it on the Catman episode that we did, is they also did a full like wrestling event at the Strawberry Festival, mm-hmm. where homeboy from Tiger King was at. How freaking cool, right? Is that?
Yeah.
Like it's gotten so mainstream that now people I hate it that I can't remember his name. If I heard it, I'd, yep, that's it. But the guy who lost his leg in Tiger King, like, he wanted, he asked to be a part of it. Like, that's cool to me. Like, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, even 20 years ago, I mean, yeah, you had your big name superstar that's not in the wrestling industry at your WrestleManias, but now you got those same freaking names at the Strawberry Festival that we didn't know about until afterwards. It already happened.
I'm just mad that the, with the Micro Wrestling League, I'm mad that they weren't at this, the local fair this year. They usually are. They weren't this year.
You know, that would be a phenomenal podcast to be able to get to do. So if you're watching this, we would love to have the whole roster on, because I've seen that you've done interviews.
Yeah, and I've got a 2-year-old, so I've got a couple high chairs that we can sit everybody in around the table and make you feel at home. You know, it's no big deal. Just want to make everybody feel, you know, inclusive.
Right. Well, and that's good to know as well if John Schuyler ever comes on, because he's a short little fuck. God almighty.
I'm not going to pull him off of you.
That's fine. You won't need to. I wouldn't have to put my hands on him, because I would tear him down with all the words that I have for him. Don't get me wrong. He's a big guy. He's a big guy. That's it. I have nothing nice to say.
All right, cool. So I think that about wraps us up.
Absolutely.
Daryl, you got anything to say in the back there? No, Daryl's done too. Daryl, huge John Schuyler fan, just like myself. So
everybody's got wrong opinions, even if they're wrong.
Yeah. So looking forward to the NAWA Bunkhouse Stampede event tomorrow night down in Lenoir, North Carolina at the American Legion Hall. I know that you will be hearing this episode after we go to it. However, there is another episode where we talk about the whole match card. There's even a video in there featuring Mr. AJ Frost talking some mad heel shit to his opponent for that match.
Heel shit, heel click, let's go. I don't want to give away anything of what we have coming up, but you and I have worked our asses off to really try to push this podcast to the forefront, and you know, not get noticed, but get some big names that we respect and we look up to on. And I can happily and joyfully say that the Swanton Pod is officially booked out every weekend and a few weekdays, but every weekend until the last weekend of March. So be on the lookout for great interviews, great guests, great commentary.
Yeah, there's good stuff coming. Is your shoulder okay?
Never.
All right, just wanted to
that was my ankle that you heard pop.
I was ripping it out of socket, patting yourself on the back there, but neither here
First
nor
there. First
of all,
I said we.
I haven't done any work, though. I haven't done anything.
You didn't have to do any of the booking work. All of this technicality stuff that I'm too stupid to do. That's you.
Stop it.
I couldn't edit shit. So that's all you.
I told you to stop the flattery. I can't take it.
So, you know, I think this is a good stopping point. I know that we have a lot of great things coming up. Real quick, I do want to plug the show that we are going next weekend.
Well, that's the AML show, yeah.
AML Acts of War Games. Two phenomenal teams headed by Brad Attitude, the former champion, and I really hope he uses this moniker after he hears it, the White Knight of Winston, White Mike.
Oh, Lord.
I came up with it.
Oh, Lord.
Do you hate it? Do you love it?
Oh, Lord. I have no idea what to think about that.
It feels right and wrong at the same time, right?
I'm not going to say it.
You're not going to say it?
I'm not going to say the white. That's too much for me.
The White Knight.
White Knight
of Winston.
Man, I just think it. I think it's a good gimmick. It's simple. It's White Mike. White Mike. White Mike is White Mike. He's recognizable, and that's him.
He is fucking awesome. But heading up two great teams, two rings, two cages. We're front row.
I hope I don't get any blood on my
shirt. I hope I get all the bloods.
I haven't been vaccinated for anything.
I was really hoping that old Johnny Schuyler was going to be at that one, but he actually ended up getting suspended from AML for just being a complete douchebag. So,
you know, I can test that. I'm going to have to talk to somebody and get him get his suspension lifted. I have to pull my weight. You know,
I'll be front row. So Johnny Schuyler, if you can somehow get in the building, see me front row, front and center. You don't want none.
All right, there you go. Email. Go watch it. We'll be there. And remember, guys, pro wrestling is for everyone.
Are we done?
Tequila. Skibbity-dop, dop, 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 dop. Yes, 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 yes. Dip, skibbity-dip, skibbity-double, double, double, double. Yes, 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 yes.